Well, it's fantastic to see you here again this evening. Again, I'll add my welcome to International Night. If we kept reading where Mike was reading earlier, we would come to Revelation 7, and I looked, and behold, John says, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, tribe, peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white clothes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We come to worship our Lord Jesus, and we come from literally all around the globe. If you were the team captains, I believe it is going to come up front, if you would. I mean, invite those that are representing the different countries that serve tonight to come on forward, if you would, at this time. As they're making their way forward, I think. What was, so everybody at once, shout out, what was your favorite food tonight? One, two, three. Clear as day. So we have Taiwan already represented up here, and yes. And South Korea. And India. In Nigeria, coming up, in Hawaii. Now, I'm from Louisiana, and if we can have Hawaii up here, we can have some Cajun maybe at some point, too. Is that fair? Okay. Cheryl said I have to cook it. Never mind. I like Hawaii. Italy. And the Philippines. I want to thank the Lord for you. Eric, you have to snap a picture here and give us a picture of that. Thank you. Father, thank you for just, Lord, the opportunity to worship together, to live together, to walk together in Christ. Thank you for these men and women who just have served us and given us a taste of, Lord, their cuisine, their country, and Lord, just a reminder that you are drawing us from everywhere, and you're making us one in Christ. And Father, as you bring us to ultimate glory, we're going to get to be one with you and enjoy you forever together. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for just the representation of the globe that you've given right here in this small local expression of your church here we call Southwest Bible. We thank you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. I'm gonna, Fiona, if you wanna just stay up, you don't have to leave. And Emmanuel, why don't you can come on up too. Tonight we're going to, people kept asking, well, who's preaching tonight? And what we're gonna do is we're gonna have a couple of stories, and these are the stories. And why don't you have a seat in the middle here, Fiona, and Emmanuel, you have a seat on the other side over there. And I want you to hear their stories tonight and just hear what the Lord has done in their lives. Fiona is from Taiwan originally, and we're not going to get into politics tonight. If you want to talk politics, you can find her or her husband Eric later on and talk to them. But what we want to do is we want to hear how the Lord has worked in hers and their family's life and what God has done. And so I'm gonna essentially ask each one of them one question, because that's what I did over the last couple of weeks. I had a chance to meet with Fiona and Emmanuel, and just ask them, just tell me your story. And each one of them told me their story, and I said, wow, I wish everybody would have been just sitting with us in that moment. And so we can't reenact a moment, I realize, but hopefully we can do that a bit. Before I'll let you go first in a moment, Fiona, but I've introduced you. I haven't introduced Emmanuel. Emmanuel represents Cameroon, Mauritania, Niger, Nepal, France, Burkina Faso, and the U.S., right?
Yes, those are right.
He lived in all those places. And I asked him, I said, well, when people ask you, where are you from, what do you say? He said, well, Oregon. So I love it. And so I'm just gonna ask them to tell their story, and I'm gonna try to get out of the way. And what I told each one of them, I literally took good notes as I was hearing it before. And I said, you know, I'll prompt you if I need to along the way, or if you go 2 hours, I'll stop you in telling your story. But love to hear both of your stories. Fiona, we'll start with you.
Yes.
Before I ask that question, though, let me throw you one small curveball. I'll start with you on this one. Did you know anybody at Southwest Bible before you came here?
I did.
You did. Who did you know?
Jennifer Parhurst.
Okay. Yep. And invited you here?
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. And you've been here for how long?
Since 2019.
2019. Okay, right. Fantastic. Did you know anybody here?
Yeah, I know Banke and Shola Bebelova.
Okay.
Also in 2019.
Both of you came in 2019. Yeah. Fantastic. All right, Fiona, let's start with you. And just, I've already let them know that you grew up in Taiwan, but you tell your story, what you'd like to share.
Yeah, I was born in Taiwan, grew up there. I didn't know God. No one ever told me about Jesus and never heard the gospel. But God is so good, even though I didn't know him, he sent people to me. Right before Eric and I applied for a school here, one of our classmates came to me and said, do you know Jesus? He is good. Go find him. So we talked about it, and we were really excited. We wanted to try, like, how to find Jesus. And then as we were talking about that, we walked down the street. Someone gave us a pamphlet of Buddhism. In Taiwan, there are many religion groups, and people worship different idols. So the mainstream is a mix of Taoism and Buddhism. So when we got that pamphlet, we felt, oh, maybe Buddha is angry. So, okay, we never thought about that. And right before we came here, we went to an advisor. She helped us to apply for schools here. And when we were about to leave her office, Eric saw a wooden board with Jesus' name on it. Out of curiosity, he asked her, are you a Christian? She said, yeah. We really didn't know each other very well. That was our first time seeing her. But she had a strong feeling at that time. So she said, I want to tell you my story. So we sat down. She told us about her testimony, how God saved her and her marriage, and how her husband went back to her after 10 years. And that was the most amazing story I've ever heard, because I never heard of a God who would save people in real life. And that was wow to us. So we started talking about finding Jesus. And we walked out of the office. Someone gave us another pamphlet of Buddhism. And that really freaked us out. So we think, oh, we better not do it. And it happened 3 times. And that was it. Nothing happened. But God, I think at that time, now we think back, God already planted the seed in our hearts. And it started to grow without us knowing it. And I came to Indiana. I went to Indiana to study. Eric went to New Hampshire. And in Indiana, I met a lady who was very, very kind to me. She was in her 70s. She took me to her church, but I didn't know, she didn't tell me much about it. She only told me it's a la-di-da place with a la-di-da people. And that was my experience, and that was it. So when I finished my studies, I went to New Hampshire, and there I felt very lonely because I didn't know anyone except Eric. So I called my friend in Indiana. She said, Fiona, you should go to church. You'll find friends there. And I didn't take it really seriously, but I heard it. And then I got a job there. I taught ESL program at Southern New Hampshire University. We had a field trip. We took the students in a van. And I remember when I was at Indiana University, my professor said, you have to say something when you're in a small place with an American. No silence is allowed. You must talk. So I think, I should say something. Oh, I remember Mary said, I need to go find a church. So I asked her, do you know any church that I can go to? And she said, I don't go to church, but I know someone who's very good at churches. And the very next day, another best friend, who is like my mother here, came to me, and she took me and Eric to her church. We were the only two foreigners in that church, but people just welcomed us. They didn't question us or doubt our motivation, asking, you're not a Christian, why are you here? They just embraced us and loved us. And we just felt, wow, why do they want to talk to us? And why do they want to, love us? And they never pushed us or, do anything to force us. And they just kept loving us. And that really made us want to become one of them and to learn what made them love us so much. And I started to read the Bible with my friend, Diane Dugan. She's my mother here. And she's so good. And I started teaching ESL program. So I think, this is really good. I have to tell my students. So for every class, I told them, if you want to learn your English well and you want to make friends, go to church. So all the students, even the Muslim students, went to our church to learn English. And we started to have a lot of students. And then my friends started to have an international Bible study. And that's how I got to learn more about Jesus. 1 year later, Eric and I decided to be baptized. And our pastor gave us a series of classes, making sure that we really understood. And I remember at the very last class, he said, do you know what Jesus did for you? I say, yeah. He died for me on the cross, and he his life for my life. He gave me eternal life. And I have his righteousness. But I was very honest, and I told him, I know this is the correct answer because the Bible said so, but I actually don't really know what that means. So he prayed for me at that time. And I thought after his prayer, I would all of a sudden understood it. But when I opened my eyes, nothing happened, really. But that was it. And then a lot of things happened, good things and bad things from men's eyes. But God is so good. He turned everything into good things. And those things became the nutrients for our growth. And we started to grow and to know more about God. And later I found that I had some illness. I didn't have any insurance here. So we moved back to Taiwan about 5 years later, 7 years later. We moved back to Taiwan, but there we didn't go to church. We didn't read the Bible. I didn't know where to go to. And that was in 2010. And we just didn't do anything. We thought, okay, we know God. We read the Bible before, so that should be good enough. But no, a lot of things are very different. When I was in Taiwan, that was the place where I grew up, but I felt like a total stranger. I didn't have any Christian friends. The values that I have from the Bible are very different from the values there. And my family treated me very well. They loved me. But I just felt very weird there. And a lot of conflicts happened. And then I just, I felt very sad for 4 years. And I never wrote to my friends here because I thought I didn't have anything good to report to them. But my friend from church just kept emailing me, asking me, praying for me. And then one day, one day my daughter went to gymnastics class at that time, and that day I remember one of the father of her friends there came to me because I wore my IU t-shirt. He saw that. He came to me. He said, "Oh, did you graduate from there?" I said, "Yeah." And then he told me he's a missionary from the United States. So we started talking about the Bible, God. And then he told me to go to BSF. So I went. And they were studying Exodus. So I started Exodus chapter 1 with them. Every time I went to that class, I went home, shared that with Eric and Juliana, my daughter, and it was like us. We were like the Israelites. We were on the same journey with them. And from the Israelites in the book of Exodus, we saw our weakness, we saw our faults, and we saw that I had too much self-righteousness and my pride and everything. And I felt so terrible about myself. Then I know that God never gave me up. He always sent my friends and my family here from church to reach out and to remind me that He always remembered me. And we were so thankful because of the book of Exodus. I finally really understood what it meant by saying Jesus died for me on the cross and He took away my sin. And He loves me forever. And so when we repented and really understood what that meant, our heart started to change. We started to have a lot of joy inside us. Everything was still the same. The surroundings, the values around us were the same. But we were different at that time. And the joy and the power from God overcame those terrible feelings. Yeah. And then here we are.
Awesome. Wow.
In a better place. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Fiona.
Yeah, thank you.
Emmanuel, tell us your story.
Okay. The reason I travel so much is I was born in China and my dad works in the United Nations, so I was lucky and fortunate enough to grow up in all our different parts of the world. I was baptized at a very young age, so I knew a lot about Christ and that He died on the cross for me, and there was no other way but through Him. So in all other countries we lived in were Islamic countries, so in Mauritania there was only one church, for example, and in Nepal, our church actually there was a bomb in on our church on a Saturday, and we actually missed that. I think that was God's plan. But grew up in a Christian household. For me, I think around high school, grade 11 and 12, I started really questioning some of the things that was happening in the church, some of the practices, like praying to Mary, that was one of them. And always going to church felt like something that your parents want you to do, not necessarily a response to what God, Jesus did for me. I knew of Him. I didn't respond to Him just yet. And I think it didn't take me to when I went to college. For the matter of fact, I didn't bring my Bible with me, just to give you an example, because I was just so opposed to some of the things that was going on. And about 6 months into college, I felt empty almost, like nothing. I was something had been missing, and I was praying that night in my dorm and prayed to God, and I said, it's been a while since I felt like that's you were missing in my life. I think that's really what it is, and that's something that our parents taught us is the prayer. We prayed a lot in the family, and that night I prayed, and on my way to the gym, I saw a poster that says, "Hey, this service tonight." And I seized the opportunity, went to service at night, and I met some folks, and I joined InterVarsity. And a friend of mine who I met through international orientation actually gave me a Bible for my birthday. So I started reading that, doing some Bible studies with the InterVarsity group. But still, I think I still had the mindset I had was, well, I'm good now with God since I'm involved and doing things. So not still discovering Christ, but still having that old merit mindset that, you know, I did what is right. It didn't take until I started working on my own, graduated, and living in Boston, where that during that time I started working, and a lot of my focus was, hey, earning a lot of money, because that was what you had promised in college, at the business school I was going to. And a couple months in, even that, I started to see, hey, I'm making all this money, helping a lot of folks who have a lot of money, but I wasn't bringing joy, I wasn't fulfilled. There's something that was deeply missing. And at the same time, there was some family issues we were having as well. And that playing together, I turned to God during this moment. And I was reading the Bible a lot, especially in Romans. That explained a lot of my heart posture and explained a lot of the world around me. And it made me realize on focus on Jesus more, because it told me I looked at myself, I saw I was a sinner, and the only way out was through Christ, and he was I couldn't ignore him anymore, and I had to completely change. And looking back at it, I think about Ecclesiastes, where it talks about how, you know, you chase the pleasures of the world, you chase riches, but there's nothing to gain in any of that. That was kind of me until I found Christ. And I think I moved to Oregon back in 2018, and, you know, still looking for a church to join, because now my change of heart, and I decided to make Jesus my savior. Not only know him, but know him personally in my very real problems. And we found my parents were going to another church here. I was still a Catholic church, but we got invited to go to another church at a bus stop. And I actually went there, and people were reading the Bible, taking notes very intently. I felt welcome and really impressed with how people were taking it very seriously, the Word of God, and what really mattered. And that was something that we were looking for. So we ended up all going there, and I decided to rebaptize, because I felt like as an infant, I didn't make the choice to follow Jesus, but now I was ready, because I really knew him. And it wasn't until I got sick with some kidney issues where I started going to dialysis. That's where I met Jennifer Parhurst. She was my nurse, and she's the one who recommended that I come here, because her dad used to be a pastor, and the teaching is very similar. And I've been here ever since. So,
thank you.
Any questions?
You didn't share with them one thing you shared with me. You said that you kind of did, but you were humble. You graduated from Providence with three majors, right?
Yeah.
And then was working for a very prestigious brokerage company, making rich people richer.
Yeah.
And it just didn't do it for you. Is that what you...
Yeah. Yeah. My school was very competitive with a business school. So by the time, almost everybody, but before 6 months before you even graduated, everybody had jobs. That's how competitive it was. And that was a drive, right? I started working, making, I think, great money. The first month, you know, and I would go to church every Sunday. I'd invite some friends to come with me, but I was turned down a couple times. But for me, even in the riches, even though I could do a lot of things I wanted to do, it didn't fulfill me. I believed there had to be more to life than just, are you born just to work and earn money, and that's all you have, and enjoy the life? I thought that there was more to that, and I thought making other people rich just for the sake of making them rich didn't have any impact. It wasn't fulfilling to me. And with also what was going on with my family, it really, I started to question a lot of things that was going on in the world. It had to be more than just that. And Christ really allowed me to make sense of the world. Because really, Romans explained the world perfectly, or explained my heart this perfectly of how the sin nature in my life. And that's what really made me realize that I really needed a Savior. And I knew of one because Jesus was taught to me at a young age. And I knew that also. I don't know if you guys were here last service where Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. There's no other way to the Father except through me. I knew that was real. And I held on to that. So,
you were waiting for a kidney transplant right now. Mm-hmm. How is that affecting your relationship with God?
I think it drew me closer. I mean, through it all, because I know God is good. I mean, like you said, God is good through all times, and through thick and thin, He's always there. Mm-hmm. And it really just brought me closer. And I also think it's a good opportunity to also allow my family members to also get closer to God during these trying times. Mm. But I don't see it as a big issue. I still do everything that I like to do. So, yeah. Mm.
Thank you. Fiona, I'll come back to you for a second, if I may. You had talked to me about this verse that had really made an impact on you, that and says, ask and it will be given to you. Mm. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Can you speak to that for a moment? And it looks like you're opening that. You can read it in Taiwanese if you like.
Chinese,
yeah. Okay.
Mandarin? Yes, Mandarin.
Okay, like I know.
你们祈求就给你们，寻找就寻见。 叩门就给你们开门， 因为凡祈求的就得着， 寻找的就寻见， 叩门的就给他开门。
Speak to why that's so impactful to you.
Yeah, when I went to Indiana to study, I found a bookmark that was really beautiful. I like it. And the verse was on it, but I didn't know the gospel. I just think, this is a very good American way of doing things. I'm going to follow it. So when I was there at IU, I did everything according to this. A lot of difficult things happened, but because of this, everything was solved. And then I think, this is really good American way. And so I kept doing it until when I went to New Hampshire and we went to church, we had this international Bible study. One day we read Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. And I told my teacher, that's what's on the bookmark. I followed the Bible, but I didn't know that. And so that's why I love it. Yeah.
What would each one of you tell folks here that are here tonight? Maybe they're from another country. Maybe they're from another state or city. Maybe they grew up right here in the neighborhood, but they're thinking, should I keep coming? What would you say to them?
Keep coming to church?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, come to church. You'll find friends. Yeah. And Jesus is our best friend, really. Mm. And He's with us all the time. And it is good. Here, I love that we're so Bible-focused, and here we have grown so much. And I have learned that no matter what happened, God is with you, and He loves you. And His promise for you is to give you hope in the future. Yeah, and He is good. And we can all take Him at His word.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Emmanuel, you want the last word?
I'll say, if you are seeking truth that really brings growth to your personal life and meaning to your own life, definitely continue coming to church and learning about Christ. And for me, I think it was what made it real for me is when I looked at my own situation, the world around me, and I tried to find things to make sense of it, all of it. only through Christ everything else makes sense. And that was just the truth. And I still believe it still is, even in this world right now where there's so much confusion and you really are seeking truth. Come to church, learn about Jesus, because he is the truth.
Thank you. As you look up here, Emmanuel came from a setting to where he believed he had to work his way into some kind of place with God. Worked his way through school, through job, through doing, trying to do good things, and realized, you know, I can't work my way. And he turned to Jesus and asked Jesus to be his Lord and forgive him of his sin. Fiona came from a situation to where when she was growing up, she said, and I quote, "No one ever talked to me about God. No one ever talked to me about Jesus." And then it just wasn't a part of her growing up. And it took her being around people to introduce her to who Jesus is, for her to realize. And if you listened well to her story, she and Eric both came to know Christ, but they went back into a setting to where they weren't with believers day in and day out, and they kind of didn't lose their way, but weren't walking with the Lord like they wanted to. And got with believers and realized, Jesus, I know you. I want to serve you. I didn't tell my story, and I won't tell all of it, but I as a third person sitting up here, I mean, I'm from a family that talked to me about Jesus from day one and told me who Jesus is. I never not believed the Bible, and to know that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. But I was post high school, at the end of my high school, before I really came to the point to say, God, you're more than just facts. Jesus, will you forgive me and be my Lord? International night, I love international night. It's one of my favorite nights. It's one where each person in these tents that served you tonight, these are our family. This is our church. Emmanuel, Fiona, this is our family. This is our church here. God's putting us together. And there's one commonality among us, and it's Jesus. And if you're here tonight and you don't know him, whether you grew up in a situation where you got to work your way into something, or you never heard about Jesus, or you heard about Jesus from day one, but you never just asked him to be Lord and to forgive you, then we would implore you to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ tonight. If something they've said has caused you to think, find one of them afterwards. Find myself or Mike or one of the pastors. Go to the information tent. We've got some information for you. The reason we do these every Sunday night is because not only do we want to know Jesus better, but we want you to know him and to know what it means to walk with him and be God's child. And so thank you for being with us tonight. I'm going to ask Johnny and the band to come on up. And we're going to, if you'll take your program, we'll sing one more song before we leave tonight. It's good to have you tonight. Thank you, Emmanuel. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you stand with me and let me just pray, and then we'll sing. Oh, Father, we thank you for just hearing Emmanuel, hearing Fiona and their story of how they came from such different places, but now, God, you've adopted both of them in Christ. And Lord, they're in your family. They're in our family, and we are in the family of Christ together, and we praise you for that. God, I thank you for all that are on the field tonight. For those of us who believe, God, may we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and just realize, even as we heard their stories, of how we need each other too. God, for anybody who's yet to believe, Lord, I pray that you wouldn't give rest, even tonight, you wouldn't give rest until we've done real business with you to understand what it means to turn to Jesus. Thank you, Lord.